while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Oh, good morning, church. Oh gosh, I feel like a BBC news presenter. Yes, good morning to you, and good morning to you if you're listening online as well. I'm really thankful to be in his house this morning on Good Friday, and also just to be spending time together in worship and now through his word, and to share with you the many things that he has laid on my heart, really. But let me start by being really honest. I feel like I have to confess. When I saw that I was allocated to preach on Good Friday, initially I was like, oh, you know, Easter, yeah, time of celebration, you know, fine. And then I was like, oh no, wait, Good Friday, Jesus' death. Okay, not so easy, not so straightforward. I mean, what comes to your mind when you think of Good Friday and when you think of the cross? Like Pastor Deji said last week, we can't get to Resurrection Sunday without acknowledging Jesus' death on the cross. So it is hard, but it's also necessary for us to really hear and to really, really like reflect and to understand and to remind ourselves of this ultimate sacrifice, that we may too enter into Resurrection Sunday with a renewed hope, a renewed joy. We have to go through this process. And so today's sermon really is that. It's a reflection on some key, one or two key events around the crucifixion and some connecting thoughts on how this is central still to our walk today in Christ. And thank you, Auntie Pauline, for reading the scripture. My sermon basically focuses on two accounts, the account in Mark 15 and John 19. So if you've got your Bibles, feel free to earmark those chapters as we go through. So the Bible tells us that one of the 12 apostles betrayed Jesus. Judas, in the Garden of Gethsemane, betrayed him by identifying him to the Roman soldiers in public so they could seize him and arrest him. I'm going to read from John 19 now, verses 1 to 6, just to give us a bit of context before we go through. And media team, yeah, thank you. But I will read from the NIV version. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would not have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of the preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, crucify him, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. There ends the reading. So as we know, the soldiers take Jesus to be crucified, and Jesus carries his cross to Golgotha, a place where they crucify criminals. Obviously, Jesus isn't a criminal. And when the soldiers crucify him, they divide his clothes between them, casting lots, fulfilling the scriptures. And we understand that there are many witnesses to Jesus' death, and I'll talk about that a bit later. But I really want to focus on what happens as Jesus dies. In Mark 15, verses 33 to 34, and we had the reading from Luke, which mirrors this, says, "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And in the book of Matthew, there's mention of an earthquake happening at the same time. So let's just sit here for a minute, talking about the darkness that happened. I don't know where you shop. We shop at Asda. We're Asda converts. But let's take the shops around here. So Lidl, Co-op, Tesco. Imagine at 11 o'clock on a Friday morning, it's sunny like this. You know, you're going to get your shopping. Maybe you've got lunch, you're preparing lunch for family for the afternoon or to go out for lunch afterwards. And you go into the store about 11:30, get your shopping. And then as you're getting to leave the store, you realise that people are looking outside and it's dark. And you look at your watch and it's 12 o'clock, you know. And I remember, like, we recently had an assembly at Emmanuel School. It's a Catholic school, and they did a play about this. And at this point, they turned off the lights for a minute. You know, everyone sat in darkness. So we see that there is a darkness that befalls the land for 3 hours until moments before Jesus dies. And this darkness, there was no, like, natural, quote-unquote, natural explanation or reason for this darkness at noonday. You know, this wasn't some sort of, like, total eclipse where the kind of moon, so the moon covers the sun? And it was during this time of Passover, the feast of Passover, that this is happening. Talking about Passover, sorry, I've got a side note. So I've worked with quite a few Jewish people, a few Jewish colleagues, and this week a number of them were celebrating. And I don't know if anyone knows what Slack is. Anyone know what Slack? It's like WhatsApp, but for offices. So you can kind of send messages to people, and, like, you know, there's like you have group chats on WhatsApp, you have group chats on Slack as well. So we have, like, a team group Slack chat thing. And I have a colleague who every time there is a Jewish festival, she is so good at sending, you know, articles, insights. I remember when it was Yom Kippur, she sent a really insightful article. And so I was hearing people talk about Passover. I was like, oh, that's strange. I haven't heard from this colleague that usually posts about all these festivals. So I'm like on Slack, like, hi, how are you doing? So how are you celebrating? And she was like, oh, Lou, I'm being a bad Jew. I'm not celebrating today. I'm going to an exercise class. And I was like, don't worry, there's no judgment here. So that made me smile. So I thought I'd share that with you. But yes, Passover, at the time of Passover, it usually happens at a time of a full moon. And obviously a solar eclipse cannot happen when it's a time of a full moon. So this darkness really represents something else. And some Christian scholars have concluded that this time of darkness across the land as Jesus is dying represents spiritual darkness. What is spiritual darkness? Spiritual darkness is when something in your life takes you away from God. Something in your life becomes front and center for you that you leave God behind. And this pulling away from God, when you're away from God, you enter into chaos and darkness. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The earth started out formless in this state of darkness. There was no order. So number one, we can conclude this darkness represents spiritual darkness, but also our sin. Number two, God's judgment. Do you remember the 10 plagues of Egypt in the Bible? One of them was the plague of darkness that God had inflicted upon Pharaoh for not listening to him. And in Exodus 10, I think it says this thick darkness covered the land. Is this God's judgment? Is this time of darkness God's judgment as well? And when we think about spiritual darkness and God's judgment, both of these things represent a separation from God. So thirdly, I think we can conclude that this darkness also represents being away from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? What is Jesus experiencing on the cross? I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, if I've got a headache, it's my head. My backache, it's my back. You know, we shout out at the place that we feel the pain, right? But look at Jesus. He's not shouting out about the pain. The depths of pain, unimaginable pain. He isn't even calling out about the fact that he was betrayed. He isn't shouting out, "Judas! Or you torturers!" I would. He calls out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is Jesus experiencing? He's experiencing the greatest pain, suffering, the darkness of our world, the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, our sin, the unimaginable pain of Judgment Day, God's judgment. The pain of separation from God. I'd like us also to think about the witnesses at the cross. We know that Mary was there, the disciples and others. But I'd also like to, and we heard this in the reading from Luke earlier, but I'd like us to think about the centurion. He's also mentioned in Mark. Mark 15, verse 39. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." What's a centurion? He's a Roman soldier. This is somebody who inflicted death. He didn't believe in God. He wouldn't have believed in God. And he probably had seen many crucifixions. What did he see that was different with Jesus when Jesus died? Why did he conclude, "Surely this man was the Son of God"? You know, earlier in the reading that we had from John, the Jewish leaders in John 19, verse 7, the Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." And this man, this centurion, who doesn't believe in God, is saying, "Surely this was the Son of God." Hallelujah. Jesus' cry out to God is so personal. It really signifies that there is a profound relationship between Father and Son that goes beyond our understanding. The response of the centurion highlights that nobody has suffered like this. Nobody suffered like Jesus did. And in what we're seeing, the ultimate sacrifice is showing Jesus being obedient. He is trusting his Father's will. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's holding on to God while going through the darkness of the cross. Remember, he knew his Father's plan. We had the reading from Isaiah. It was prophesied. And throughout the New Testament, we hear different accounts of Jesus warn his disciples of what was to come. I mean, he even predicted his death 3 times. Look at what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can never say that word. Gethsemane, yeah. When he gets the realization of what is to come, he says, "Take this cup from me." Obedience, and then realizing the will of God is perfect. What does he say? "Yet not as I will, but as you will." He was committed to the will of God. Our main reading for today, John 19, 29 to 30. A jar of wine was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put a sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received a drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. One of the things that happened after Jesus took his last breath was the curtain in the temple being ripped into two, torn into two. The Bible says from top to bottom. And it was a real game changer because this ushered in the new, the fact that anybody can now access God through Jesus Christ. And we know, family, that Jesus' death isn't the end of the story. It's not the end. He's resurrected after 3 days. Death could not hold him. Hallelujah. But what does it mean for us today when Jesus said, "It is finished"? What do you need to declare in your life as finished? What do you need to let go of and let go, let God, as they say? You see, it's one thing to accept the cross on Calvary, knowing that Jesus died for you. But it's another thing to recognize that when we carry our own cross, we also need to cry out to him and release our burdens, our trials, our suffering, our uncertainty, our anxieties, our peace, lack of peace to him. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, I'm reading from James, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Resurrection Sunday is around the corner. And glory to God, we have 7 baptisms here on Sunday and counting. Who knows what might happen on the day? And many of us will be remembering our own baptisms. But let me ask you, are you still on fire for Christ in a similar way to how you were when you were baptized? Do you still follow him with a passion for him and his word? You know, a dear sister says this phrase to me, life be life in, which basically means sometimes life isn't easy. There are challenges, there are roadblocks. And sometimes we get so consumed with it all, we don't see his hand in it anymore. We don't see his purpose working in our lives or working in the way that we had hoped. Or by being too busy on this treadmill of life, you know, the Martha Mary. It's so easy to attack the to-do list and at the end of the day be like, I'm too tired to pray. So you're not praying throughout the day. Are you holding on to past hurt, feeling let down, bitter, guilty, embarrassed? Dare I say it, are you in spiritual darkness? You know, God has already given you his love, his peace, his joy, and you know it, but you can't feel it or you can't quite see it. You can see it on this person, on that person, but on you, Are you compensating that gap, that emptiness, and filling it with things that God hasn't called you to fill it with? Has the Holy Spirit been convicting you to speak up and to speak out on some situations once and for all, to put right or wrong, or to forgive that person, or to forgive yourself? Family, I feel like there are some things we need to declare this morning as finished in faith. Nailing it to the cross. Laying it at the cross of Calvary so that we can truly, truly walk in the hope and freedom of Jesus Christ and his promise of eternal life for all. So, in conclusion, it is finished. No more are we bound by the chains of sin. We have a freedom in Christ through his death. The barriers between God and man have been removed. And now we may approach him with confidence and boldly. And if you're sitting here wondering if you ever could be a Christian, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Good Friday, even. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your background, your history, your story. We can now all enter into a life with him. You can come to know Christ and follow him. And if you're sitting here and you feel like you're suffering as a Christian, the cross is a reminder that God has a plan for you. Our sermon notes mentioned, you know, an artist. When an artist creates a photo or a an illustration, and declares it as finished. Well, God knows your complete picture. He knows your whole story. We can't see it, but he knows. He will not abandon you, and he loves you. Lastly, when you know that God has been through it all, been through suffering, pain, darkness, you can go to him about anything and everything, trusting that he who is faithful will take you through. So may you enter the celebration of Resurrection Sunday with a renewed hope and faith and freedom and joy in Jesus Christ, our God and Saviour of the world.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.